comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pot Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
See, I know they don't watch the local news because it's always full of just depressing shit, but flipping through the channels the other night, had to stop because a story about Brett and I's former high school came on.
Patrick Henry.
Shout out to all you Patriots out there. But it just reminded me of some, you know, some dumb shit that we used to do in high school.
What is the dumbest thing you think you did in high school?
So probably a couple that both involved throwing things. The first would be on nights when we would all go out to this local movie theater. Brett, you're very familiar with it. That was the Grossmont Theater near the trolley station.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So after the movies, and I know you've done this with us a couple times, we used to walk over to 7-Eleven, you know, just buy whatever random shit, and then take like 20 of the coffee creamers with us. And then as we would walk back to the movies to have our parents pick us up, we would lob this shit at like signs, at cars, at the, you know, the fucking movie kiosk thing. I don't even know what you call it. And that was one thing. The second thing also involved throwing shit at cars. We would do quite often. We would go over to my buddy Ryan's place, whose mom lived on the second floor, had a balcony. We used to go out there, take ice cubes, and just whip them at cars as they're rolling down the street. And for whatever reason, like, we thought this was the coolest shit of all time. And there's multiple occasions when we would hit a car pretty good, and the person would run up to the apartment and just start slamming on the door, and then we would just like go crawl under the couch like, you know, Little Women, and hide until they left. So yeah, it's pretty stupid shit.
I remember, I think the dumbest thing that ever happened when we were going to high school too was, I think our junior class tried to take on the senior class at one point.
Yeah.
And it was legitimately, Dan, you'll appreciate this. It was like watching the undercard of NXT take on the main roster of WWE. I mean, bodies were just flying.
Like, in a fist fight?
Was a full blown fist fight.
It was like Anchorman fight status. You know, people were throwing tridents, people's arms were getting chopped off. It was crazy.
It was the gang fight from West Side Story. It was fucking crazy.
Except no dancing and actual punching in the face.
Was there snapping?
Oh, there was snapping.
Yeah.
Of necks. Of bones. And bones.
Of bones.
All right. So wait, what was this? What's this yearbook story now?
Oh, yeah. So the news story was talking about...
You worked in the yearbook, by the way, right?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Okay.
So this should really touch a chord with you.
Touch a chord?
No pun intended.
Because we got to ask you a question after.
Pun? What's the pun?
I get it.
No implication intended.
Is the cord... You just go on.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So Patrick Henry, though.
So yeah, God Patrick Henry.
Deep shit.
Right. So they released the yearbook with a picture of a group of girls in bikinis throwing up the shocker sign. It's always so funny to me.
The shocker sign?
When the news tries to explain like young terms or hip terms. So as they described it, it is a sign that indicates a sexual activity involving the woman's two lower regions. I forget how they describe it exactly, but just so ridiculous. So yeah, anyway.
It makes you feel more dirty about it than
exactly.
You actually...
Just fucking say it's like a sex sign, game over, stop. Just, you don't have to get that specific. So these chicks are throwing up the shocker sign, and they spell out an expletive.
Yeah.
I believe it was...
A fuck, I believe.
Where? Yeah.
With their
like
bodies.
At the beach.
So they're shaped. I believe they're shaped
out. You know
how
like, the chicks
they,
get...
Well, they're really multitasking.
Oh, this was like a double... Yeah. This was Inception level yearbook prank kind of stuff.
And one of the girls was a member or staff of the yearbook who put this picture in. So anyway, picture's in, gets released to all the seniors on a Friday before anybody else. Everybody's like, holy shit, I can't believe they let this in the yearbook. Over the weekend, the... faculty becomes aware of this, they throw a sticker over it. So all of the other students get the yearbook, but the page that has this photo has a sticker over it. But the kids were able to take off the sticker carefully and slowly enough so it didn't rip the page so that they could see.
Those must have been really nice stickers then.
Yeah.
The shittier the sticker,
well, you know,
the
they,
more that comes with it.
They, you know, they had like 2 days to figure out what to
They're
do.
They're high-quality
right?
stickers. That is right, Dan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, it's kind of easy to get something passed in a yearbook because you are copy editing the yearbook in sections over like 7 months, like your whole
Oh,
story.
No crap.
So like,
yeah, I was always wondering
when
the process.
Something gets approved, like you're doing it piece by piece. So it's not like somebody's going to, you hand over the final, like all together and they review everything.
There's no QA process at the
it's,
very,
it's
very
like,
get-go.
Okay, you're going to review pages 1 through 30, then 30 through 60, 60 through, like a regular book. Like no one's reading it from front to back before it goes to print.
Mind you too, okay.
So if you just go back, edit one of the master files, like right before it
goes to the publisher. How's nobody going through the entire thing before you send it to print?
Because the
That's
advisor,
crazy.
One, the, if
I
the
think it's a class.
Smart,
it's like a
yeah.
curriculum. It's
Dude,
based
it's,
on the curriculum
it was
of the
it was
course.
A period. It was one period
yeah.
per day. It was like my
and
third
it builds.
Day
it
year.
Stacks to the end of the week. It stacks to the end of the year. No, I totally get that. Yeah. So okay. Answer me this, Dan. Is there a quality assurance process beyond just the students?
Yeah, there is. There's an advisor, and then usually the publisher.
A peer advisor, or is it a, like
no,
a?
It's a teacher.
Okay. Okay.
And usually, whichever like publisher you're working with, there's an agent that helps the yearbook teacher like edit
QA
and,
it too,
and all that kind of stuff.
Because
yeah.
I was thinking too, like having students QA the yearbook at the very end. That's like that's like having like
oh,
yeah. an alcoholic QA your rehab stint. You know, your entire process through a rehab stint. So it just doesn't make sense. So.
No,
yeah.
yeah, it's very easy to get something through. Like, and I was also on the paper, and the school newspaper is a lot harder because depending on the principal, like my last year, the principal wanted to be able to copy edit everything before it went to print.
Oh, like the Fuhrer?
Trying to fucking censor us, yeah.
Like
the Third Reich.
Like
of
no, it's like PC principal, bro.
Yeah, it is PC principal.
It's straight up PC principal.
She was definitely PC principal.
Did you ever see anything scandalous in the yearbook?
No, actually, I didn't realize what we were tasked with doing, but we had to edit out any students who had different colored hair, like not natural hair color, or if they had tattoos showing, we had to Photoshop their tattoos out.
Just blonde hair and blue eyes. Huh,
Dan went to Pleasantville High.
It was weird, man. I didn't realize the implications until like later, looking back on it. I was like, that's kind of fucked up. Like, you think you're going to be like looking at your senior photo, and you're like, wait. The hell happened to my tattoo?
So did nobody ever complain about that? Like a student ever?
I have no idea. No, I have absolutely no idea. I can also tell you that the most likely to, like, you know, like the senior like awards or whatever that are in the yearbook.
Don't you dare tell me that's
like,
rigged.
Best looking hair. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you get best looking hair?
Completely rigged.
You got
oh,
best looking
no,
hair?
Because I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
The foundations of my life have just been shattered.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For the most part, it's people's friends. Of who's like counting the votes.
I was most outgoing.
Okay. They're all lies.
That's a damn lie.
All lies.
Dan and I almost got in a fist fight before this recording, so that's clearly not true.
Yeah, it may happen after. Somebody's going through this table. So speaking of lies, Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris are over.
Ooh, baby.
Taylor Swift is no longer dating Adam Wiles.
How long do you think before an album comes out with a song based on Calvin?
Did they ever
a
release
a single or an album?
Here's my question. Did they ever release a song together?
No.
No, they were completely like separate
they
when
didn't
it came
so.
To
do a Blake Shelton Gwen Stefani.
Here's what I'm thinking, that this is all a strategy and that they're going to release some single or two that they were working on together as a couple because this has been become such a big story.
Instead of the B-sides, it's the X-sides.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, Taylor Swift hasn't put out music since she's been dating Calvin Harris, really. So
that's true, actually.
She needed some more inspiration.
I mean, but hell, after that one album, too, what is it, 1988 or whatever?
1989.
Oh, holy crap. Like, that thing, I think, had the most singles I think I've ever seen on an album ever, even if I didn't
so
like it all.
I do have an inside source who works for E.
Uh-huh.
And so she's the one that
name
actually
drop.
Knew about it. Actually, this is not a name drop. Because I didn't name anybody, but she kind of like told us like before it went public. But apparently, he's the one that broke it off, which is interesting to me.
Calvin broke it off.
Calvin broke it off because he did not like the constant celebrity of the relationship. Like, he would prefer to, like, not be so public with every aspect. And I guess with her, a lot of things have to be public, especially from, like, her group and everything. Like, there's a certain amount of things they want to keep in, like, the
massage parlors, things like that. You kind of want to keep that private.
Well,
yeah.
Well, what does he expect? Like, you're dating Taylor Swift, bro.
I think it sounded like just a bold-faced lie. I think he's just over it. Like, I need a good excuse.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's me. Like, this is the celebrity version of it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Like, it's too public. No, I need to be private.
So she jumped from the highest paid DJ to
Loki.
Maybe the next James Bond.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's dating.
I thought he just said that he wasn't going to do it.
We're talking about Tom Hiddleston.
About Tom Hiddleston.
Who is getting, I guess, spec'd to be Bond. But, yes, there have been pictures out that Taylor Swift is, like, full on with this guy already, huh?
Yeah.
Like clean cut.
Yeah, like them, getting hot and heavy, if you will.
Yeah. Will this be
like
a secret track?
Or something, right?
Will this be a secret track on the Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris album? The Hiddleston and Taylor track.
I mean, not produced by Calvin, so I probably don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, that's a good call, actually.
Yeah.
They're both Brits, right?
Who?
Yes, Hiddleston. Calvin and Hiddleston.
Hiddleston or,
well,
yeah.
Isn't he Welsh? He's from Wales, right? No?
That's Brit. That's kind of, I don't, yeah.
It's in the
my
UK.
My stepmom's going to kill me, but it's the same kind of thing. It's England.
I'm just surprised I haven't seen any social media posts from her about this, really. Because, you know, she usually can tend to take to Twitter or something very quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
she's just grown up, guys. She's maturing.
Maturing. You know who needs to mature a little bit? Is Aisha Curry.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. You got Riley acting more mature than her.
There was some Game Sif stuff that happened, right, Dan?
Oh, my God. I hope everyone has seen this. Right now, the finals game 7 is about to happen as we are recording this episode. But
it was
why?
A bus, a profile, and Aisha.
Yeah. So
take it away, Dan.
Apparently, she didn't have a good day. Apparently, one, the staff at the Quicken Loans Arena would not let them to their seats until like 10 minutes before game time. And I don't know if that's really a big issue.
Right.
You're going in for free. You went in through like the player entrance. Like,
who
maybe
cares?
They were worried about safety. And I don't know. So that happens. And then her husband does not have a good game, fouls out, throws his mouthpiece at a fan, and gets ejected.
Which is the funniest GIF, by the way. GIF. You have to see that.
Yeah, it's great.
I've seen one where somebody edited the mouthpiece to be a Pokeball, which is great.
Well, he just flinches so hard when he gets hit, you know?
And so she tweets like right away that the NBA is rigged, that she doesn't know if it's for money or for advertisements. But she has seen it with her own eyes. She just won't stay quiet anymore. And then she deleted that tweet.
That's the best part about our culture and society right now, is that people are so reactive and they have, you know, access. Access and an outlet.
Social media is
to literally the entire world. And when they make these just really rash, quick decisions and put it out in space, like, obviously, it's out there. Someone's going to grab it, and you can never delete it forever. And it just has such huge repercussions. It's nuts.
It's like, ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
It's ridiculous. When you think about it, too, she says, what does she say? She's not going to stay quiet anymore, right? Yeah. So that,
and she apologizes the next day. So she's like, I'm going to shut the fuck up.
So she's insinuating that she's potentially getting hush money from some potential source, which can only be Stephen Curry's salary that she's getting by not working for shit for it. So what is she actually staying quiet for on her own? You know, like, it's just, it's ridiculous. She thinks she's very, very empowered.
She came off so entitled, like, throughout that, like, and I think the Golden State players, fans, for the most part, they have been accused of having this entitlement throughout this series and throughout, I guess, the playoff run, really.
I mean, when you can drop kick somebody in the nuts and only get a game suspension, I think it's quite entitlement.
An argument that that the NBA is rigged because they didn't suspend Draymond until the finals. Like, they purposely waited to suspend him until LeBron would need him suspended. Which doesn't make sense to me because he still has to hit the dude to get suspended. Like,
that just makes me so angry because that's like the ultimate, just cardinal sin in any sort of sport. You don't hit below the belt.
And he's done it like 5 times.
Oh, he has. Yeah.
Intentionally.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The thing is it's not accidental where, I mean, even that, you're like, dude, you're kind of a dick. Accidentally kicked the guy in the nuts.
Pun intended.
And, yeah. Very, yeah. But it is intentional. And, like, if you're getting paid $1 million, that doesn't matter. I'm ripping the dude's ears off if somebody drop kicks me in the nuts. I don't give a shit what I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
You just don't do that to somebody. But
and it's just like,
people, if you can't do it in the UFC,
yeah,
that should just be like an ultimate.
And like, you
that
know,
should be the rule.
Like,
no.
You know,
yeah,
we,
exactly.
We're fans of wrestling. We know it's scripted. We know that the outcome is predicted and like what happens is rigged because that's essentially what it is.
I'm sorry, what?
And like, even like, we understand like, no, it doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like the WWE because you still have to make the shot that you're supposed to make. Like, a wrestling move is different. They know that it's set up for. There's no way, like, you still need the ability to go out and have LeBron put up 40 points. If LeBron only puts up 20 because he has an off night, no matter how rigged the game is, the Cavaliers aren't winning. Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
And if we're getting back to the nut shot, too, like, comparing that to wrestling alone, like...
That's illegal in a scripted...
They even freak out in that when in a scripted show. They freak out and they punish the guy, you know?
Yeah, you get disqualified.
Yeah, well, the best part to me about all these conspiracy theories, and, you know, granted, I may or may not believe one or two of them, but people make the assumption that, like, secrets can be kept.
Yeah.
And that this kind of stuff wouldn't get out.
One referee called fouls when there weren't fouls, and he got caught and went to jail.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, it's the whole, and then he's the one, so then he made statements last week that were like, yeah, it's rigged. The NBA is rigged. The finals are rigged.
Yeah.
Why would you believe a dude who was lying and cheating?
That's the ref that looks like Mark Fuhrman, right?
Donahue?
Yeah.
Donahue.
Yeah, that was my buddy. He was like, yeah, Tim Donahue says, you know, that they're rigging the NBA finals. I'm like, oh, that's a good source. That's who you want to have is, oh, yeah, this liar and cheater over here, he's telling me that it's rigged, so it's got to be true. And then Ayesha Curry's dad, so to continue her bad Thursday.
They had a shitty night.
He apparently was detained by security because they wanted to ensure that he was not apparently they have a serial like con artist who's been making fake credentials and getting into events at the queue at the Quicken Loans Arena, and apparently they look exactly alike.
So, black,
yeah, probably.
Go figure.
So they stopped him for like 15 minutes for questioning, and then Ayesha went on Twitter about that too.
Yeah, just all in all, not a good 48 plus minutes.
So there's a really funny thing. So she tweets that she's stuck on a bus, and then someone took a photo of Beyonce and Jay-Z walking right past the bus she's stuck on, and they like put her tweet next to the picture.
Oh, that's bad. Like,
I mean, and you know what? I would hate for like my friends or like anyone in my like in my group to be saying things like that as a professional athlete because it doesn't look good. Like, because then what? Was it rigged last series when you guys came from 3 down to win? Was it rigged your whole season that you had a record-breaking season? Was it rigged last year when you won the finals? Like, where's the line? Like, if it's rigged just now, it's had to have been rigged before.
Right. I do not think the NBA is rigged. I do think that referees get, you know...
Potentially some
nudged,
incentive.
Right. To try and extend a series as much as possible. But there's sometimes, you know, like the Cavs when they win 10 games in a row where you're just not able to do it. But this has been a really interesting series beyond just stuff that's happening on the court. Just how much of a spotlight is on, like, everybody involved, which is the crazy part. It's not just the players. It's the family members.
Oh, it's like keeping up with the
people
Kardashians.
In the stands. Yeah.
I mean, this is an entire reality show based upon the NBA Finals.
It really
that's
is
happening
like,
right
now. I think, and this is what I think sports is going to continue to mushroom into, because it's almost taking over the entertainment spectrum. You know?
How do we create characters out of reality?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally hear you on that. I 100% agree.
Aisha Curry kind of just creates herself.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't really need a script for that.
Yeah. Right? I mean, and this is different because I think somebody compared it to Tom Brady's wife. What's her face? Giselle. About how she yelled at Wes Welker for not being able to catch a – or not Wes Welker.
Wes Welker
for not catching a pass from Tom Brady. That's different. At least she's like, yeah, you should have caught that, Wes. Like, that's one thing. She didn't call the NFL rid for Wes not catching that pass.
Yeah, I mean, and to insinuate that there's cheating in a game that you're not even fucking playing in, I mean, it's just a stupid, it's a stupid
really
thing to
Tom
do.
Brady,
so. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, none of us like him.
No.
Yeah. So the game's happening. I think literally in the next 15 minutes is probably starting.
Yes.
Predictions, guys, really quick before we go to this half. Who do you think is going to take Game 7?
I'm taking the Golden State Warriors. I said it from the beginning
Ooh,
of the season.
Maybe.
Golden State 7 games. Rematch of last year. So yeah,
I think
the Warriors.
Like a month ago, I'm on here saying that it was Cavs. So I'm gonna stick with the Cavs.
Stick with the Cavs. Yeah, guy, I'm gonna lean Golden State. I've been doing it since the get go, and yeah, as much as I hate Draymond Green, and Curry's lost a lot of liking to me too. But yeah,
I think unless OKC cashes in their Money in the Bank briefcase.
Ooh, good call. Which we're going to talk about after the break, too. We've got a pay-per-view wrestling event coming up.
Yes. Tonight, going up head-to-head against Game 7, so that must suck for Vince McMahon.
We got that. We have Brian's movie review. Steve Jobs.
Steven Jobs.
That was written by Aaron Sorkinson, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
West Wing.
Social
yes,
network?
Yes.
Yeah, West Wing.
Yeah, awesome.
And then we also have, Money in the Bank predictions.
And a ton of Father's Day, because it's also Father's Day.
Yeah, it is.
You're getting a special Sunday
Daddy's
recording
Day.
From the
did you guys,
soda crew.
Did you guys already wish your dads
of course.
Your father?
Yeah, I'll do right now. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Brian, Bill,
yeah.
Get one.
Happy Father's Day, Pops.
There we are. Greg, happy Father's Day.
Yes, so we are going to head to break, and we'll be back with all that.
Right on.
Hola, amigos. ¿Cómo están? That's all the Spanish that I know. It's Brian. And I'm not here to give you a free lesson in Espanol. I'm here to talk about a movie because it is once again time for Brian's homeless movie review. This week, I'm getting back on the Oscar train. Got my ticket stamped. I'm in my seat. My tablet is up. Headphones are in. And I decided to watch Steve Jobs, which I didn't really have high expectations for. This movie, Fassbender, was nominated, I think. I know for sure Kate Winslet was nominated for Best Actress. I knew the performances were going to be good, but I didn't really realize that you had a dream team screenwriter and director in Aaron Sorkinson and Danny Boyle. So Aaron Sorkinson has written quite a few really good movies lately. Social Network probably being the most recent, I think, before Steve Jobs. And then Danny Boyle, if you don't know Danny Boyle, he directed Trainspotting, 28 Days Later.
Sunshine.
Oh, Sunshine, yep. Can't
Slum
forget
Dog.
About Sunshine. Slumdog Millionaire as well, 127 Hours. So definitely a lot of good movies on his resume. And I think it really showed just through how this movie was shot. So it basically follows Steve Jobs around for three different product launches. When he's originally with Apple, when he gets fired, starts in his own thing, a company called Nexus, and then when he's back with Apple to debut the first MacBook. And it's a really interesting story on Steve Jobs because it doesn't focus, a large part on like the technology or him, becoming the CEO of Apple and that whole path. It basically directly ties around the relationship with his daughter, which honestly, I didn't even know he had a daughter. And I thought not only was that interesting, but also they insert a lot of flashback sequences into the film during like really dramatic pieces, which I thought was done really well. Jeff Daniels is also in this movie. Seth Rogen, who plays Woz, who's like basically starts this company with Steve Jobs. Yeah, he's like the lead engineer.
Seth Rogen.
I thought Seth Rogen was really good. He basically just like played himself, except a lot smarter. And Fassbender was amazing. He was great. Kate Winslet also great, obviously, for her nomination. But man, Fassbender was awesome. It was a little tough to take him too seriously because at a certain point he like takes his shirt off and he's like jacked because, you know, he's still filming X-Men and all these other movies, and you're like, yeah, Steve Jobs never fucking looked like that, let's get real. But yeah, again, just going back to the movie, like it was just pieced together so well. It was really well written. It was very witty, as well as it got into a layer of Steve Jobs that like you never were exposed to previously, like his personal life and how that affected his professional mind and, you know, how that evolved over the years and, you know, what he valued, because obviously he was just obsessed with being the best and creating, you know, new and innovative products and being able to, you know, literally give anybody in the world access to all information, you know, like that was his end game. At a certain point, it just took him, you know, steps to get there, and in a different strategic business path as well, because that's something you don't think about is the business side of things. You can't just always have like the greatest fucking idea, and, you know, call a Pied Piper and have it take off. So, yeah, Steve Jobs, again, love this movie. I thought it was great. I'm honestly surprised that it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, in my opinion, just based on this class. You know, definitely go out and see it. A movie that, you know, probably not too many of your friends have seen, but really good, really well done. Acting's great. And my final review for this film, I'm giving 4 out of 5 quarters.
Damn.
So definitely high praise.
Do you think it got shunned at all in the awards?
I did. Like, I thought, man, the cinematography was really good. The direction was awesome. I do think that, you know, it should have been nominated for more, especially when, you know, Spotlight wins Best Picture, which I really did not have, you know, a good experience, not a bad experience, but I didn't really think it was that good.
So I take it out of all of the Jobs movies, because there's been like a ton that have come out the last few years too. This is probably the best one to see, the most worth of one to see.
Yeah. If the question is Ashton Kutcher or Michael Fassbender, you're probably going to want to pick Fassbender. So yeah, I mean, this movie, Money in the Bank, also going on tonight. An event with a similar title.
The same title as what you just said.
Uh-huh.
Woo! Yeah,
it's WWE Presents Steve Jobs. And, Money in the Bank. Probably one of my favorite WWE pay-per-view events of the year.
And basically, to give everybody a quick rundown of what Money in the Bank is, basically, it's a ladder match.
Everyone registers their checkbook.
Yeah, everyone pays their taxes.
Who
for
can
the year.
Balance their checkbook better?
Yeah,
go.
Who can? Yeah, they line out the black carpet in the middle of the ring, and everybody balances their checkbook as a race. But yeah, basically, it's a ladder match. Has a piece of briefcase hanging from the top. 6 people are fighting for it, and at any point, the person that wins this can cash this in the next year for a chance to win or to fight against the heavyweight champion.
Yeah, it's a guaranteed title match.
Yeah. Which is pretty good storytelling. Always adds a good element of storytelling.
Especially
to
because how it's been used, mostly people will cash in at opportune times. Like
the Sheamus was the most brilliant I've ever.
No, if you want to see the first Money in the Bank cash in was
it was the worst by the
10 years ago. Edge on John Cena, and John Cena had just gone through like a 6-man match and a elimination chamber, which is like a steel structure. Basically, he's all bloodied, beaten to hell, and then out comes Edge, like, oh hey. We're going to have a match now.
Yeah. And I guess that's the one thing that I'll ask you guys about. Do you think it always, because it always seems to have a heel edge on it, because I can't really see a baby face ever really cashing in at any point.
Just being like a huge dick and saying like, hey, I'm going to take your title.
It always seems to side with the cheapskate or the dickhead.
Yeah, but it can, in some cases, end up in like a turn. Like if you look at Dolph Ziggler was a heel, he cashed in on Alberto Del Rio, and that's probably one of the loudest pops I've ever heard for like an arena. The crowd went crazy. He beats Alberto and ends up kind of like going face just because he was so popular. And then you can go heel. Like Daniel Bryan, when he cashed in on the Big Show, he was a face, but then he turned heel.
Okay,
It definitely depends on how you use it. You can be dumb like John Cena and schedule a match beforehand in which you don't win. Or you could be like RVD and then use it in... He's the only one that's actually set a match for a pay-per-view, which was at ECW's One Night Stand, which is crazy.
Has it ever happened where a person has had the Money in the Bank briefcase, been in a heavyweight championship match, lost that, and cashed in immediately to...
Yes.
Okay, restart a match.
They haven't cashed in, but there has been people who have, like, that's been thought of. Like, Seth Rollins was in a match for the World Championship while he was still Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think that would be really interesting to see.
That would be cool, for sure. So what do you think is going to happen tonight? Because there's Kevin Owens, Alberto Del Rio, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, Dean Ambrose, and Chris Jericho. They're in the six-man ladder match. Who do you think is going to take it tonight? It's a hell of a show. I mean, it's a hell of a card already for that. But who do you think is going to take it, guys?
I mean, who I think and who I want, you know. I can never really root against KO. My brother from another mother. Well, he's also a guy that's, you know, really athletic, a bigger dude. So, you know, he can... He's got a versatile package, and I think he's fun to watch.
Staring at his package, huh?
Yeah. Versatile package.
Very versatile.
Yeah, Swiss Army knife, if you will. So that'd be my guess. KO.
KO.
Okay, and you leaned against it. We'll make it quick, though. Who do you think is going to win?
Chris Jericho.
Okay. Oh, that's very interesting, Brian. How about you, Dan?
He actually created this match. He came up with the idea.
Yeah. How about you, Dan?
I think it's... one of two people, Dean Ambrose, who wins Money in the Bank finally.
Does he cash it in tonight? If he wins, does he cash it against Roman Reigns and Rollins tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think that that's probably what's going to happen.
If he doesn't cash in tonight, he cashes in at Rollins v. Reigns at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Or there's a seventh entrant into the Money in the Bank, and that seventh entrant wins.
How would that
work? When they originally put up the graphic for Money in the Bank, there were seven like shadows, but there's only been six spots filled, and WWE hasn't commented on why there's only six people in the match now. Why did they change their graphic? Wasn't there supposed to be seven people?
Ooh.
Usually they don't like keep secrets on purpose. Usually they tell you like, oh no, this is why.
Yeah.
But when they are ever like hesitant to comment on something, usually because it has to do with like something. So I did see a secret agent be like Randy Orton coming back.
Ooh.
Because he's healthy.
Damn.
Ooh. It could be Bray Wyatt coming back, who's also healthy, and he has been teased. It could be a call out from NXT, maybe like Finn Balor, who has associates.
Yeah. So you think whoever is the mystery entrant's going to win?
If there's a mystery entrant, they win. If not, Dean Ambrose takes it.
Okay.
All right.
I think for me, yeah, I'm leaning on the Ambrose train. I think what's going to happen is...
Asylum.
Yeah. I can see... I don't know. What I hope happens tonight is on top of him cashing it in the same night against Roman Reigns and Rollins is Reigns and Rollins turning on Ambrose.
I want two heels on the baby.
Yeah, okay. I want Reigns because I think that Ambrose
double team,
is...
if you will.
Yeah, I believe that Ambrose is... the most babyface character out of all tonight.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I could see that could be a push to finally get Reigns over to the heel side that we've been waiting for a long time. Please, McMahon, listen to us for once because I'm sick of seeing Reigns. I hate
Maybe
him.
Maybe you tweeted him like Aisha Curry.
Yeah.
Then he'll listen to you.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's what I'll do.
The WWE is rigged.
It is. All about cash. It's all about cash.
Speaking of you know, cash and being rich. John Cena versus AJ Styles, real quick. AJ Styles or John Cena? I'm taking AJ Styles.
Mm. Man, that's gonna be a great match.
Yeah.
Oof.
I'm leaning Cena.
Yeah, me too.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. He's on the return. He's
exactly.
on the return.
He doesn't need a win.
I know, but he's challenging people. He's like setting the precedent that he's opening the door
this
to the next wave.
A dream
he
match,
can't.
By the way,
I know it's a great. It's going to be
TNA's
a hell of a match.
Like Backbone versus WWE's Backbone.
Will it be longer than the ladder match? Because I actually see that those guys. I can see those guys going longer than the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh yeah,
I think it'd be a great match. Whatever it is, like Cena's work has been great.
Their stamina is incredible when it comes to performing in the ring. So,
and AJ can have a great match with anybody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I could see that being a hell of a match. So yeah.
So two Cena, one AJ.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the title match: Rollins versus Reigns.
Ooh. Rollins, welcome back, Rollins.
With or without a cash in.
Ooh, I think a cash in is going to happen. If Ambrose wins, I think a cash in is going to happen.
So you've got Rollins with a cash
in.
Yeah.
Or if they burn it, but I think it'd be so stupid to burn it tonight. Like if they gave it to like a Cesaro or something like that and he went and cashed in for
it.
I don't know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But yeah.
Man, now that you've talked about that, Dan, I do think that, you know, something non-traditional has got to happen, right? Like it would be good. It would be entertaining. They got to do something crazy to maybe nab a headline or two against Game 7 of the NBA Finals,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. You've got to pull away viewers.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman comes back, starts wrestling.
So
with Karl Malone.
Right. I think that somehow still...
That was WCW, by the way.
Roman Reigns.
Owned by the company now.
Roman Reigns wins?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Through whatever happens, somehow he's...
So
Brian's trying to pretend like he's happy about predicting that. Yeah. Just gritting through his teeth.
It's been
like,
so hard
for
me to say that Roman Reigns was going to win against AJ Styles cleanly the past two times. And it's even tougher because they love Rollins, and Rollins has technically not lost his championship. So it's really hard for me to say that they're going to have Roman Reigns win cleanly. But they will probably have Roman Reigns win cleanly. So
ooh.
I'm going to predict Roman Reigns.
Do you think Randy Orton comes back during that match?
No.
Okay.
Do you think Randy Orton comes back at all?
If he does, it would be in the Money in the Bank match.
Okay. Man, I think we got a good card tonight. It's going to be a hell of a match.
Yes.
We'll see tomorrow. This episode releases on Monday, so we'll either be
and I think LeBron
very right,
Steph
very
Curry,
wrong,
one,
or
two,
very in the middle. So what?
I think Draymond gets disqualified, and the Warriors lose by DQ.
Yeah. The one thing I'll tell you about Draymond Green, if I was him, I would be very, very scared about playing games in the future because they're going to send goons out on every single team to kick him straight in the fucking nuts, and that's going to be very painful.
He's wearing a cup next season.
I don't think I'm interested in watching any games that Draymond Green's playing because I'm going to probably get sick watching somebody kick him square in the nuts, and I don't want to see that anymore. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a good day. And you know what? It's been a very hot Father's Day.
It has, yeah.
Hot Daddy's
Day.
What
the hell, San Diego? Yeah.
But I don't think the fathers could have asked for a better sports day. You had the U.S. Open. You had some Copa America, some Euro soccer. You get the NBA Finals tonight, Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
They got spoiled.
Yeah. You're welcome, dads.
Yeah. Do you guys have any good Father's Day memories?
Father's Day memories.
Yeah, before we wrap up this episode, are any father, like...
Brian, how do you feel being a father?
Well,
he's only been it for like 2 months now.
For the kids that I don't know out there that I've likely fathered, I hope you're doing well.
he's the Antonio Cromartie of the Pop Not Soda cast right here.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids out there. But no, you know, Father's Day memories for me always were tied into baseball, whether that be playing or my dad and I at a Padre game. I definitely have... fond memories of that. But for the most part, I was usually playing. He was usually coaching.
Yeah.
So a lot of time on the baseball field on Father's Days.
Yeah. Had that opportunity to be coached by Bill, too. He's a great coach.
Guys,
and a great umpire, too.
Did you guys win a lot?
Depends on what team you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There were some...
We had some good teams and some not-so-good teams.
Yeah. We don't talk about the not-so-good teams. Yeah. How about you, Dan, though? Any good Father's Day memories?
Usually barbecues at, like, my aunt and uncle's with the pool, which would always be hot as balls.
Yeah.
Which I miss that pool right now. Oh, I miss that pool.
It's, I know, that's, I need a pool. That's exactly how we enjoy our Father's Day too, though. We go over to my aunt and uncle's house, have the family over. I mean, everybody's usually over. My dad's in Florida, though. I mean, since for the last couple of years. But yeah, that's how.
Watch out for them Gators.
Yeah, holy crap.
Not the Florida.
Not those University Florida. Of yeah, Florida yeah, Gators. Yeah. So not the mascot kind. But yeah, so, but that's usually what we do. We go over, barbecue, have that kind of thing. It's always, it's funny, though, because like the most simple thing always seems to be the most enjoyable when it comes to the plans on this day, especially. So.
So yeah, I think, you know, most dads are low maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yep.
Yeah, not to say that moms aren't either.
That's
a, I mean,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Why would you even bring that up?
I'm sorry.
That.
I did not
why
say that.
Why would you even
I
infer?
Did not say that. But hey, to wrap it up, though, shout out to the dads.
It's Happy Father's Day. Brian's kids, if you're looking for
daddy will
support,
be home later.
You can email popnotsoda@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We need a DNA test just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel, I'm going to feel like Prince now. Not the fact that I'm dead, but I don't have a lot of potential heirs.
Crackheads claiming
yeah.
to be your
yeah,
son.
Exactly.
Pop Not Soda is not covering the DNA no. test either. Yeah.
We have no family health benefits either.
Yeah.
So, but yes, thank you for listening. It's been episode 17 of season 2, I
yes,
think.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we're Pop Not Soda, by the way.
Next week, we have a great interview.
Yeah, we do. We've got a guy that worked on Farpoint, the game that was a big hit at E3 this year, the virtual reality PS4 game. Which came heavy with VR games this year. Holy
yeah,
crap.
So much VR porn. Can't wait.
I have never seen. Yeah, holy
wait,
crap.
VR games or what?
What?
I'm Dan.
So yeah,
you're gonna be excited, buddy.
if you miss us throughout the week, make sure to check out our mini episodes, and you can always follow us on Twitter. Brett is at Nieces Pieces. Brian is at BOWN619. I am at Dan_Perez_ or our show account, which is at pop_notsoda. Every Monday, new episodes are released. You can find it on iTunes Podcasts or at popnotsoda.podbean.com. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. And until next week, this has been your six-pack of pop culture. So wait, what about this virtual reality stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's VR porn. You haven't heard about this?
No.
You wait, though.
It sounds terrible.
Don't lie to us, Dan. Don't you dare lie to us.